Well, good morning. Turn with me to St. Luke's Gospel. The title of this message is Accounted. Accounted. And let's begin our reading in Luke chapter 20, verse 27. Oh, sorry. We get turned on here. Is that better?
Yes.
All right. All right, I forgot to turn myself on. Luke 27. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection, and they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die, having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children, and the second took her to wife, and he died childless, and the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no child, and died. Last of all, the woman also died. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall of them is she? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now, there are great many wonderful things that we could talk about here this morning. But I want to focus on that word accounted. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Now, those who are accounted worthy of that world are called the children of the resurrection, being the children of the resurrection. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection.
Amen.
I am the resurrection and the life. Look at John, and I believe that verse goes ahead. I'm not sure. Matthew or John 11:52, I think it is. No, it's not. It's 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now those who are the children of the resurrection have always been the children of the resurrection. And thy children shall be taught of God. And great shall be the peace of thy children, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath learned and hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. But the children of the resurrection, maybe we ought to kind of trace that mercy and that grace Brother Jerry was talking about back to its source and to its fountain. It does not originate in the children of themselves or any worthiness in them or any merit that's in them or anything about them, but it is traced up to Him who is the resurrection and the life. We must trace our mercies and all that we have in grace back to the fountain head of it, who is God our Father. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Where were we at when we were chosen? We were in Christ. We were chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Now, that in itself gives us great cause for rejoicing. If we were chosen in Christ, we were not chosen in ourselves. If we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, we were beheld of the Father in Christ from all eternity. We were received in Christ. We were saved in Christ. We were anointed of the Spirit in Christ. We had life given us in Christ, in everything, in His appointment, in His determination, in His predestination, in Himself. So everything that we have comes from that mercy that God has given us from the days of eternity, being found in union in the Lord Jesus Christ from the days of eternity, and therefore being in Him who is the resurrection, we are the children of the resurrection and are accounted worthy. We're accounted worthy. We're not worthy in ourselves. We're not worthy by our works. We're not worthy by any of our own holiness or any of our own righteousness or anything that is in us as we are sons of Adam, but as the children of the resurrection. We are accounted worthy. And we're accounted worthy of God in His essential essence as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because of His work in us and for us primarily and altogether of His work for us at Calvary. We're justified by His blood. Now turn on over to Luke Luke 21, verse 36. And we'll begin our reading in verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now there's that expression again, earth dwellers, they that dwell on the earth. Now that's prevalent in the book of Revelation, to distinguish between the children of the resurrection and the children of this world. children of this world are called earth dwellers. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape these things and to that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That you shall be accounted worthy. Now, we are accounted worthy because of eternal union with our Lord Jesus Christ. And because we being in Him, in union with Him, in a spiritual, supernatural union with the Lord Jesus Christ from eternity, in the reckoning of God and as God sees it, in Christ, we did all that Christ did. So all that finished work and merit and value of the sufferings and work of the Lord Jesus Christ are accounted to us for the sake of Christ. And God receives us as Christ Himself. In the book of Philemon, he said, Paul writing to Philemon said, "Receive him as I myself." Now, so to account, or to lay to the account of, or to charge to someone has the same meaning as to impute. if someone imputes the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ to our account, he accounts that to our account. Look at Galatians 3:8. Galatians 3:8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be justified." Now the Scripture, or the Holy Spirit, or God, however you want to look at it, it amounts to the same thing. God knowing that he would justify the heathen by faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham. The gospel was preached to Abraham, and Abraham believed the gospel, and that gospel is of a justifying righteousness laid to the account of the children of God, or the children of resurrection, because of the finished salvation that Jesus Christ brought out in his person and work in his sojourn on this earth. And that's what Abraham believed. Abraham saw that God would bring in a justifying righteousness by our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, we'll read verses 1 through 4, and then we'll turn over to Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, and this was, of course, before he changed Abram's name to Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and will be, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now that's where Abraham is said to be justified by works. Abraham believed God. And because he believed God, he went into a land that he knew not. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. I need to get in the right chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, went out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, and obeyed, and went out, not knowing whither he went. Abraham was said to be justified by his work, but his work was wrought by his faith. Abraham would have never made that journey had he not believed God. So Abraham's doing what Abraham did was a proof of what he believed. Abraham's work justified Abraham's faith. So it all went back to Abraham's faith, which was what God had worked in him. And Abraham believed God, and that was accounted or reckoned or imputed to Abraham for righteousness. Now go back to Genesis 15. Genesis 15, 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, this is Genesis 15:1. Well, it's not the written word that's spoken of here, because the written word wasn't given at this time. They didn't have the written word. It was the essential word. It was the word of the living God who came to Abraham and spoke to him. It was that word that was in the beginning with God and was God. It was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, if God is the shield of Abraham, and if God himself, and notice it's God himself, he said, I am thy shield. And it's the same one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Not gifts, not graces, but himself. The Lord Jesus Christ has given himself to the spiritual seed of Abraham. For he is the spiritual seed of Abraham, and all who are in him are the spiritual seed of Abraham. And all the promises that are to Abraham are to that spiritual seed. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? Now, notice that he said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Well, that is the name that he gave himself at the bush when he called Moses to go out, and he said, I am that I am. I am that I have always been. I am that I am now. And I am that I always will be. He said, I am thy shield. I am that I have always been thy shield. I am that I am now thy shield. And I am that I will always be thy shield. And thy exceeding great reward. This thing has been fixed in the purpose and counsel of God from all the days of eternity to Abraham and his seed. And his seed, which is Christ. I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. Look at Isaiah. Chapter 32. Now this is he. Isaiah 32 verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. That tells us who this is. That king is the Lord Jesus Christ. He reigns in righteousness. And princes shall rule in judgment. And a man, the I am, as the mediator of the everlasting covenant of grace. And now God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And a man shall be a hiding place from the wind of judgment, and the wind of wrath that'll blow on the children of disobedience. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Always have been. I am now. And I always shall be. A man shall be a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest of the fiery indignation of Almighty God. And rivers of water in a dry place, he's all there is to us. He is our life. He is as the dew unto us. As the rivers of water in a dry place, and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Our Lord Jesus Christ has forever been to us that rock of ages. That has cleft for us and has received us, and we are in him. We stand in him. Now, let's go back to Luke. Luke chapter 21 and verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy because of our position in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has ever been our shield and our exceeding great reward. Oh, aren't you glad he's your shield and our exceeding great reward? All that he did was for us. All that he did, we did in union with him. So he himself is our reward. He has given himself freely to us, to believers. And all that we have, all that he is, we have in him. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape these things that shall come to pass. And look at this word. And to stand before the Son of Man. Because we're accounted worthy in Christ Jesus, we shall be able to stand and have boldness in the day of judgment. Look at 1 John 3. First John 4. First John 4 and verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. He himself, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. As he is, so are we in this world. Accounted worthy. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him... Now, whether that's generally taken to be of him referring to God the Father, but whether you refer it to the three persons of the Godhead or one of the persons of the Godhead, it's all the same, for they are one. So we can say that of him, of God, in his essential essence as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, according to the terms of the everlasting covenant in which they agreed before the foundation of the world. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. And we're now in Christ Jesus, because we've always been in Christ Jesus. Accounted one with Him, one in Him, doing all He does, suffering all He suffered. Because I'm crucified with Christ, I'm buried with Him, I'm risen up together with Him, and seated at the right hand in Him. God accounts all that work finished and over with and done because of the faithfulness of Him whom He charged to bring Him, His church, into Him justified from all things, a glorious church not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. In Christ Jesus, we know all we need to know. Brother Jerry mentioned that saving knowledge. It's all in Christ. All in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. And it's not that righteousness is infused into us, but it's righteous. His righteousness is accounted to us and upon us. And we stand before God having boldness because we are clothed in that perfect righteousness. Amen. And it's the same as far as sanctification or holiness is concerned. We are holy in the holiness of Him alone who is holy. Amen. Thou only art holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And we are holy in His holiness. And His perfect and precious and sinless blood. We're washed from our sins in His blood. He is our redemption. He gave the ransom price. Look at Job. I think it's Job. Job 33, I believe it is. Job 33. Maybe it's Job 24. I'm in the Psalms. I need to get in Job. Job 33:24. Then He is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. I have found a ransom. And our Lord Jesus Christ paid the ransom, gave the ransom price at Calvary. We all in Adam owed God, as one said, we owe God one death. One eternal death. And our Lord Jesus Christ died, gave that death in His person at Calvary. We no longer owe the debt. Look at Romans 5:9. Let me just go back to the Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and read up through verse 9. Therefore, being justified by faith. Well, now, how is it that we're justified by faith? Just like Abraham. Abraham believed God. God has made us to believe Him. He's given us, He's opened our hearts and caused us to believe Him. And we believe God, and that is accounted to us for righteousness, and therefore being righteous in His sight by that imputed righteousness, or righteousness that is imputed to us from the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Stand at the judgment, justified in the Lord Jesus Christ, with boldness, because as He is, so are we in this world. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, these are things that we experience in this world as we go through this world. And it is a growth in grace. And a growth in grace, to me, is the ability, is the God-given ability, simply to trust and rest in God and His purposes. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we grow in our knowledge of our covenant relation to God, we cannot help but grow in our trust in Him and in our ability to rest in Him and just to be at ease in our God. To rest in Him. But these things here are speaking of our experience as we are taught of our inheritance in Christ. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved through His life. Therefore, all of our mercies and our graces, our grace that's given to us of our God, can be traced back to the Lord Himself as the fountain of those things, of all those mercies and graces, and that according to His purpose and covenant which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But one more scripture, two more scriptures I'd like to bring before you this morning. Jeremiah 13:2. It's 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. This is speaking of Israel in their national adoption when he refers to them as my people. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's like Adam and Eve. Once they had cast off their innocence and began to sow themselves fig leaves, man by natural religion seeks to justify himself before God. So they forsake the fountain of living waters, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our life, and they sow themselves together filthy rags for a covering. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Now look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And we'll read verses, I think it's verse 7 through 11. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. Now look at this. And this is the record. People are condemned because they believe not the record of God. And this is the record. This is what God's record, or this is God's message to us. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. God hath given to us eternal life from that fountain of life, fountain of living waters, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this life is in his Son. That's one of those scriptures that's almost too good to be true. That we have a shared life. That we take life from our Lord Jesus Christ. But that's the Word of God to us. That is God's record to us, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. One more place. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Amen.